Welcome back to Bat Rankings Beyond. I remember it this time with my member brain. I'm your head scientist, Ben Creighton, with me as always.
Hey, it's Kenny Wendorski.
We watched Deadman's Hand this week.
Yes. It's it's a group of villains, yep, that has not been in the Batman the Animated Series, but they are canon to comic books.
As we'll be introduced to them, I was looking them up on the Wikipedia just to see. I was good podcast Ben for a change.
Ooh.
No Shrek today.
Yes.
But, apparently, occasionally they'll team up with the Joker because, hey, thematic.
Cards.
Playing cards, yeah. But no Joker in this episode.
No.
If you want to see some future Joker action, stick around.
It is there.
It's, we'll get there. Actually, it was... come to think of it, it was in the last episode we saw just the tiniest bit when they're touring the Gotham Historic District.
Oh, that's right.
There's a wanted poster with the Joker's face on it. It's pretty good. But yeah, if you want to see what the Joker's been up to for the last 40 years, there's the Return of the Joker.
That's a good one.
I'm excited. But that's going to be on the other end of Bat Rankings Beyond just before we move on to Murder, She Ranked.
Yes. I guess we're going to start this off. It is, how do we start this one? I'm glad you took notes.
Yep. So we open up on this yacht party.
Whoa. Free boat ride for three.
With a bunch of rich assholes. They're in their big yacht. This, like, little guy in his little sailboat is getting caught in their wake. I wish it had been Bibbo, but Bibbo would be very old by the time this happens.
That would have been nice. That would have been a fun Easter egg.
Yeah, like old man Bibbo with a little Bibbo
maybe
Jr.
Maybe like a junior. Ah!
Yeah! But it's not. It's just a guy.
Yeah, and he's like cursing at him, shaking his fist in anger, and why yada.
Yeah, and they're laughing. We're rich, so you're not going to feel bad when we get robbed in a second.
Uh-oh, we're getting robbed in a second. Oh, here comes the Royal Flush Gang.
So it's these five men and women, each of whom aligns with a playing card, a face card.
Yes.
We have the king, done up like a king.
He's got a crown,
yep,
sword.
Queen, again, done up the same way, a little crown. She's got a scepter. The ace, who is a big, bulky, strong guy, never says a word this entire episode. I guess these... I didn't even think about it until now, but the ace has a spade.
The ace of spades! The ace of spades!
On his chest. So yeah. I guess that is the suit of Royal Flush that we've got today.
Yeah.
It's the only card I need is the ace of spades.
That's right.
The ace of spades.
There's also a, teenage boy, maybe not teenage, early 20s. Yep. He's Jack.
Yep, Jack. And then rounding out our Royal Flush is 10.
Yep.
Who is, they've all got these, like, skin-tight bodysuits, mostly white. 10 is split down the middle, half white, half black.
Yes.
But full face cowl. But you can tell that 10 especially is a lady, because she's young, she's attractive, she's a Bruce Timm design.
She's got lady parts.
She's got lady parts. And these suits are very tight.
they're taking all the stuff like jewelry and cell phones and watches, yep, you know, expensive things.
Yep. And Terry's at the docks just doing his Batman thing. He's already all suited up and he sees this going down and he's... says over the radio to crusty old Bruce, bunch of playing card people. And Bruce says, oh, I know what this is.
From your days?
Yep. That's from back in my day.
I'll
exposition dump this later.
Yeah.
In the meantime, go beat him up, please, Terry.
So he shows up, and there's a fight that ensues. Luckily, they're able to get away because it's either save all these civilians from the boat,
yep,
or chase after them because the boat's a sinking.
Yes, the queen sticks her little electro scepter thing into a power box that has the boat exploding and tilting, and we get a little banter between her and the king, and the king is saying, oh good, Batman's here. Apparently the king has a personal grudge against Batman,
yeah,
that nobody else really seems to share. The queen's like, no, we got stuff what can be turned into money. Let's go be rich, though.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
So anyway, they're able to escape.
Yep. They all fly, by the way.
Oh,
on
yes.
Flying playing cards.
Yeah. Like Silver Surfer. He's only they're flying playing cards.
Yeah. Or like the Bat Glider that the Batwomen's rode in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terry, he's able to save the day, but he's like, I'm late for an appointment.
Yep. Bruce wants him to come straight back to the Batcave and debrief, and Terry's trying to set some boundaries with his new employer. He says, no, I've been putting this off. I want to do it. I'm gonna go dancing with my girl.
So he shows up at the dancing place, the club, the juice bar.
Yep.
You know, it's pretty. There's laser lights and disco balls and electronic music, and Dana's out there dancing, but solo, and Terry shows up. He's like, hey, and Dana's like, she's mad.
Yep, Terry's late. They were supposed to meet up earlier, and he didn't show up, and she says, you know what? At this point, I don't expect you to show up. You've stood me up so many times because of this dumb job of yours. I'm getting the impression that you're just not that interested in me, so I'm gonna go dance with myself. And you can go dance with yourself, and that's it. We're Splitsville.
And Terry, he's going to fight for it, but then he's like, you know what? Screw this.
Yeah.
Bounces out of there, but he's been watched this whole time.
Yeah, by a very young, attractive Bruce Timm designed teenage blonde girl. She's wearing combat boots. She's got that whole, like, sexy goth schoolgirl thing going on.
Goth girls.
She says, "Yeah, looks like you're striking out with your lady friend there. What if I gave you a big smooch?"
And she does. And he's like, "Holy crap, this is going fast." And she says, "This is how I live my life because I move around a lot."
Yep.
So we doing this or not? And she untucks his belt. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, this is a children's show. But yeah, the vibe you're definitely getting is that these are two young, attractive and incredibly horny kids.
Yes.
That just met and hit it off and have a bunch of chemistry.
And Terry's like, well, it's going a little fast. Well, how about a date then tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll meet right back here, midnight, on the dot. I will be there, or be square. Let's do it. And
yes.
She's into it. They give a little smooch goodbye and agree to meet up the following night.
And so Terry goes to hang out with Bruce Wayne. Bruce is like, you're late.
Yep. And they have a little argument. Terry says, well, my girlfriend broke up with me, no thanks to you. And Bruce has zero sympathy. He says, don't be dramatic. You'll get back together.
Yeah.
Which, I'm, on the one hand, Bruce is, well, we know he's right. Dana's going to be back. I don't think they get back together by the end of this episode.
No.
We'll see if they're still broken up the next time she shows up.
Okay.
But so on the one hand, yes, Bruce is correct. And also, it's a high school relationship. Who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, well, Terry gives a shit because he is in high school and he doesn't have that perspective.
Yeah.
And you know what doesn't help to get through to horny, emotional teenagers? Telling him, you're an idiot, shut up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bruce isn't doing a great mentoring job this episode.
He explains to Terry, though, about the gang.
Yep.
Royal Flush Gang's been around for years and years.
Yeah.
They are family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the family grows older, new kids are born, and they join the gang and recycle, repeat.
Yep, they consider themselves the aristocrats of crime.
That's an interesting act you have there. What do you call yourself? And they say, the aristocrats!
Yes.
And they were out of commission for a while. There's some, we never get fully explained what specifically the grudge is between the king and Batman, other than Batman put a stop to their shenanigans, but now they're back!
Yes. And now we cut to Melanie. That is the name of 10.
Yes. So Melanie Walker was the pretty young woman that that Terry got some smooches from. And it was pretty obvious right from the start that she was 10. But just in case you didn't think, you didn't catch on, we get some bickering within the Royal Flush Gang.
Mm-hmm.
10 especially is saying to the king, this grudge is stupid. We got lots of money. You're taking stupid risks because of this grudge against Batman. And the king saying, oh, I am the king.
Any man who must say I am the king is no true king.
And you will do as I say. I am probably your father. I was not entirely sure whether she is actually the king and queen's
I think so.
Yeah, I think she's at least the queen's biological daughter.
I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah, but they go out on another heist. They're going to steal a big jewel-encrusted sword this time.
Yes, apparently the sword was the suit before it became a spade.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. The deck of cards has changed many times over the years. It's been... Some of the historical suits have been cups, rods, but yes, swords was definitely one of them.
Okay.
So that's how Bruce knows that's what they're going to go for, and Terry says, well, they were... stealing from boats before. Was that a suit? And Bruce says, well, it was the yacht club.
Hey-o!
So does that mean they could have just as easily been stealing from the Elks Club or the Rotary Club or the Boy Scouts of America?
Maybe.
There are lots of clubs, but apparently only one very valuable sword.
And Terry rightfully so is like, I would investigate this if you had any evidence, but this is like... We are taking a big leap here. And Bruce is like, just do it.
Yep. Yeah, so Terry Terry goes off. He has another little run-in with the Royal Flush Gang. And this time we're noticing that Ten is a little reluctant. She seems to be indulging in fantasies of, what if I just lived here in this city and was a normal girl and could have a boyfriend? That would be nice.
Yeah.
Her heart doesn't seem to be in it.
She's in charge of disabling the security system, cut the wires, and she's told she has plenty of time. Take your time.
Yeah.
We don't want to mess this up. But she's looking at her watch on her arm, and time's a-ticking. She wants to go on that date.
Yeah, so they have their little punch-up, And yeah, they're not going to make that date. Midnight comes and goes. The Royal Flesh Gang takes a hostage, a security guard. Mm-hmm. And the king orders Jack. They're doing this big midair chase with Batman. The hostage is on Jack's playing card. And the king says, drop the hostage. Jack's all about it. Like, yeah, fuck him.
I am Jack's smirking revenge.
But everyone else is kind of like, no, murder!
Yeah, especially Ten is like, no, we are thieves. We are not murderers. That's crossing a line here. But Jack does it, kicks him right off, and that's how they get away. Terry has to once again save the hostage.
The guard got injured in the fall. Terry did save him, but it looks like he broke his leg.
Yeah.
So Terry has to take him to a hospital, and he looks at the time. It's well past midnight.
Yeah, but he goes to the meeting spot anyway, and it's raining, and it looks like he's not going to meet this, like, one-in-a-lifetime chance encounter with this hot girl who just gives him random smooches, and he's sad. But, of course, she was late for the same reason.
And cue the most romantic guitar music ever.
Yeah, it's the music in this scene especially is maybe a little heavy-handed.
Yes.
But this is just my personal take. I think it fits for the story they're telling.
They're angst teenagers.
Yeah.
And like, it's raining and they're hormonal.
It's funny, you know, the first time I saw this episode as a hormone-addled teenager myself, I kind of wasn't into this whole thing. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, jack-off motion. Because I was too close to it.
Yeah.
Whereas looking back with the benefit of years, it's like, yeah, no, that's just... It's... Yes, it's schmaltzy because that's how it feels when you're that age.
Yeah.
And goddamn it, you just want a bone so bad.
So they go on their date. Yeah, they walk in the park.
They see the sunrise together and sort of bond over mostly Melanie's woes of, yeah, we move around all the time. I never get to know anyone. I'm probably only going to be here in town for like a week. This sucks, but... Can I see you again tomorrow night?
Sure.
That'll be the third date.
Yay!
We all know what happens then.
So, yes, they do agree to it.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen, obviously, because the Royal Flush Gang, the king, is all mad.
I am the king!
Yep. Melanie throws a bit of a tantrum, says, screw this family, screw this whole crime thing, I'm walking out, I'm out of here, and... The queen, she knows. She's been there.
Yeah.
She says, what's going on? Is it a boy?
Yeah.
Yes. And why didn't you introduce us? Because he's probably not into crime.
Yeah. So?
See, you need to find yourself a good, upstanding criminal boy.
Yeah.
And you can come bring him into the family, and he'll be your crime king. But that's all going to be in the future. In the meantime... What? You want to come do crimes with us tonight, honey?
Come on. Why break this up? We got a good thing going. So,
they go she do says crimes. Yes. And we get a very similar scene with Bruce and Terry, where but Terry stands his ground. He says, look, man, I know you think they're going to go for another heist tonight, but you've got nothing concrete to go off of. I've got plans. Call me when you've got something concrete, but I need to have a life.
Yeah.
And, man, Bruce plays every trick in the book. He says, Batman would go out there.
Yeah.
Because he knows that from just last episode, Terry puts a lot of stock into this is, you know, he probably doesn't think of himself as Batman in his own head, but this is a new identity, a new role in the world that as a very young man, he's trying on.
He says, one night won't make a difference. And Bruce gets mad and says,
one night always makes the difference.
It might be just one night for you, but to someone else, that could be the difference between a whole brand new life.
Yep, and yeah, Bruce gets right up in his face, grabs him by the lapels, and this reminded me of the scene with Terry and his bio dad in the pilot where they get mad. Terry shouts and punches the wall and walks out. Terry very much storms out. He's like, you just want me to be a lonely asshole like you. I'm going to go get laid, goddammit.
So he runs off and he calls Melanie. Melanie says, we got to break up.
Yep.
And Terry is like, this doesn't sound right. And Melanie is like, we got to. It's just not going to work. It's not you, it's me.
Yep.
So she hangs up, but Terry is like, that sounded forced. So he uses a Gotham City Police Department scanner.
It's like a kiosk. I'm guessing this is the future version of like the police box that Doctor Who flies around in. I don't know.
He puts his cell phone in there and it's able to star 69
yep.
where Melanie's phone call came from. And so thinking she's in danger, he dresses up like Batman and goes there.
Yeah, but what does he find? But the Royal Flush Gang's headquarters with all their stolen loots. And he goes, fuck, I'm dating a supervillain.
God damn it. And the Royal Flush Gang, they walk in. Obviously, something's wrong because there was a booby trap that went off.
Yep.
A little minor explosion. Take a shot. It still counts.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
And
they show up and they did perpetrate a crime that night. And the King's even saying, Batman didn't show up. I wanted to murder him with my special death card.
Woe is me. Hey, there's Batman.
I'm a murderer with my special death card, but Terry knew they was a coming, and he set up Home Alone traps.
Yeah, and plus he's got his camouflage doohickey. That's fun. There's a fight. We find out that the big spade guy is actually a robot.
Did we definitively find that out?
I think
out?
He gets a cut on his, and there's some circuitry there.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if that was meant to be like he's a robot inside, or if it's just that their suits, much like the bat suit, are like electronic strength enhancing.
Oh, I could see that. But to me, it felt like that's a robot.
Yeah, I thought he was a robot too, but I wasn't sure if that was from this episode or if I was remembering it from a future episode. Because I think they do show up at least once more in Batman Beyond, and I know they show up in Justice League.
Okay. But there's fights. Jack's fighting. Everybody's fighting.
Yep. Whoa.
Wee-wah-woo.
Yeah, Terry takes out the Queen and the Jack pretty easily because he set traps. I like the way he takes out the Ace. He rocket boot punches him down an elevator shaft and then chucks a grenade after him.
Yeah.
So we see that he's all right later on. But I guess Terry must have known that he was a robot because can't be doing that to a flesh and blood human.
Yeah.
But it all winds up with a big fight between Terry and the King. Melanie/10 shows up. Of course, Terry knows who she is. She doesn't know who Batman is, but he's trying to be like, no, please just get out of here. I don't want to. But he has to take her in. And to Terry's credit, he does take her in. He doesn't just give her a smooch and let her go.
I made that joke with Sarah later. Yep. But he still is in his Batman gear.
Yeah.
And one by one, they're hauled off into a cop, van.
Yep.
And he shows up as Terry
to
look on and see what's going on. And Melanie sees him looking at her and feels great shame.
Yep. And crusty old Bruce shows up to commiserate with Terry. Terry apologizes for the harsh words and says, man, anything like this ever happened to you? And Bruce says, let me tell you about Selena Kyle and how I gave her preferential treatment because I wanted to have sex with her.
Yeah.
And thus ends Dead Man's Hand.
Yep.
Kenny, does this episode hold up?
It does.
This is a good one.
It's got a lot going on, a lot of components in this one.
It does, but I never felt like it felt overstuffed.
Mm-mm.
It was, yeah, lots of big action set pieces, but it made plenty of room for those character moments. That's what I crave.
There's a lot of interesting choices with music. Obviously, yep. We made fun of the rock and roll guitar.
Yeah, the love theme featuring Terry and Melanie.
But there's a really interesting exposition music when he puts his phone into the Gotham City
mm-hmm.
police box thing, and it's analyzing where the phone call came from. It's very beautiful. I don't know. It's a little haunting because you're putting the pieces together and you're finding out, he's about to find out the truth about Melanie.
And you see his face reflected in almost half silhouette in mm-hmm. the device's screen.
Yeah,
it's a good little moment.
So,
and I really like the way we're developing, once again, the Bruce and Terry relationship, I think, is the heart of this show.
Yeah, he's never had I take that back. I was going to say he's never had a son to talk about these things. But we've never had Bruce say, hey, let me tell you about a girl I used to date, which is something that I, talking to my own father, it's mm-hmm. kind of fascinating to, like, what were you like in high school?
Yep.
am I going to be awkward and weird? And then to have your father say, so this is how things progress when you get older. And yep. I liked that moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know you remember, I'm sure, quite well. When I was in high school, my father and I had a very troubled relationship because you were the friend that I would commiserate with after we'd had a big fight. And our relationship has gotten, well, it kind of had to get worse before it got better, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's gotten much better in recent years as Dad gets older, and I also realize he's not going to be around forever. If I want to have those good conversations with him, now's the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the other day we were having dinner, and I was sharing with him, you know, I do the respite care thing and mm-hmm. I'm about to go back to school for it. And I shared with him, yeah, I'm kind of mildly terrified about this whole thing because I'm committing to this path that's a very difficult life path. I'm never going to be rich doing it. And there are ethical issues to be dealt with. And I'm afraid that a year into this 2-year program or a year into being in this field full time instead of just as a weekend thing, I'm going to realize I can't handle it. And that I'm making a big mistake and it's all going to go wrong. And he just kind of looks at me and nods and says, yeah, maybe you are.
It's, you know.
And fuck if Dad doesn't get it. You know what I mean? Because that's what it all comes down to it. Yeah, maybe I am, but what are you going to do?
You figure out your own path.
Yeah. So I very much appreciate having that paternal figure in my life.
For me, it's watching. I have a lot of questions about my kids and my dad.
Yeah.
He's been there, done that. He knows diapers. He knows how a child, when they're supposed to learn how to speak. When they're supposed to be out of diapers, things like that. Questions that I'm too embarrassed to ask on Facebook.
Yep.
I'm going to ask my old man, hey, just out of curiosity, did I do this at age 3? So.
Yep. And I think this is a relationship that they did some with Batman and Tim, not Tim Drake, but Dick Grayson. Some when he was Robin and more so when he became Nightwing. But it was always, like, they would do one episode of that, and then 10 or 20 would go by before they ever dealt with it again.
Yeah.
I really like being able to re-explore a relationship like that in a more serialized format where every episode builds on the last one.
Yeah.
I think they're doing a great job, and you can definitely tell that Bruce is learning from the mistakes that he made with Nightwing, too. Mm-hmm. Because that, when he was very dismissive early in this episode, that's still kind of the mode that he defaults to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think back when he was with Nightwing, he would never break out of that. That was just the face he put on.
Yeah.
And now he's learned, like, okay, I need to take a step back and think about what he needs now. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see how much we appreciate this episode with science.
Yeah!
I'm a disciple of science.
All right, Reginald, fire up them bad boys.
Yeah, now everybody's got, you know, we've got our paternal relationship with our co-son and manservant, Reginald. Are you doing all right, Reggie?
He's nodding his head, no.
Okay.
Wait, what?
All right, well, that's... do you need help right now, or can we finish? Okay, he's nodding yes. We can finish the show, and we're going to sit down with Reggie to see what's on his mind.
Nice.
Yeah, all right. Well, in the meantime, I think we better get those lab coats on.
But let's take those pants
off.
Woo!
All right.
Fire up the RNGesus.
Yep. We got our big master list here. It's got 7 episodes. Lucky number 7. Rebirth, Shriek, Meltdown, Blackout, Golem, Matlock the Judge, Heroes.
All right.
That one was a little, the science machine, which is definitely not my phone. It is a big mainframe, but I tilted it.
It takes up half the room.
Yeah, and you know how when you tilt the science machine, it goes to the side, and
yes.
Then you tilt it back up? Yeah, I was trying to, like, read it with my head tilted. It was weird.
Oh, yeah.
The science machine is not my phone. I can't stress that enough.
No.
It's different... Don't
Did you
worry
ever
about
see
it.
The movie Hidden Figures? The big computer? Anyway, it's a big computer.
It's a big computer.
And you should watch that movie.
Yes. Meanwhile, is this episode, Dead Man's Hand, better or worse than number 6, Matlock, the Judge?
I think it is better than Matlock.
I concur.
Thanks, RNGesus.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was a fun little nitpick. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe if Matlock had really explored the troubled relationship with his daughter in that episode, maybe we'd be singing a different tune. But
we didn't get that.
Yeah, as we all know, that relationship didn't really take off until season 3 of Matlock.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yep. Is Deadman's Hand better or worse than number 5, Golem?
Yes.
Yes, better.
We deal with something sort of similar.
Yeah, a little father-son thing there.
And
a love story of sorts.
But this has done so much better.
Yeah, I think it. Both ends of it, the father-son thing and the love story. I mean, even love story might be overstating it because it's an infatuation.
Crush.
Okay, but I... But it captured that, like, moment of just intense teenage longing very well.
But this one's cool, with cool set pieces.
Yep. Nobody was Carrie in this one.
Nope.
There were no DBZ auras.
I think I said Christine in the previous one, and as I re-listened to it, I was like, fuck. Wrong Stephen King.
Look. Stephen King's written a lot.
He's got a lot of books.
Yep. Well, mistaking Stephen King books for other Stephen King books is something I won't the stand for.
Hey! We got sound! Canceled!
Oh, my God.
Quick, keep going.
I'm sorry I can't be your The Shining Light of good puns anymore.
God, don't boo us. They brought tomatoes?
Oh, no. They're going to bury me in that pet cemetery.
Oh, we don't want that. Down there.
something Dark Tower. Anyway.
Yeah, sure. Gunslinger.
Yeah. But we started not quite at the very bottom, but we've just been going up one each time.
Yeah.
Is Deadman's Hand better or worse than number 4, Blackout?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. I had to kind of think on that one, but yes.
Yeah. Blackout was very stylish. I think it might have had the edge. This one had very good big set pieces.
I think I'm more entertained by Blackout,
mm-hmm.
but I think this was the better episode.
Yeah, definitely storytelling-wise, 100%.
I get that way with the Christopher Nolan movies of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know The Dark Knight is considered the best of that trilogy,
mm-hmm.
but I watch Batman Begins the most. Of those 3 movies, that's the one I like to watch the most.
I think that one's a little more digestible. Dark Knight is a great Batman movie, but also it's long and it's heavy. And
it is better.
Yeah.
It is.
But sometimes you're in the mood for just a little snackable Batman.
Exactly.
Yeah. Always comes back down to food with us, doesn't it?
Yeah, well. It really does. I'm sorry to our listeners. You know, we like food.
We do.
I work at a restaurant.
True. I work as a cook during the week. All right. Is Dead Man's Hand better or worse? Again, bumping up one more. Better or worse than number 3, Meltdown?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to concur.
I cared more. Ironically, it's barely introduced, but I cared more about Melanie and Terry's relationship than I did with Victor Freeze and his relationship with the
evil hot scientist. Yeah. She was such a cipher of a character. She was just kind of, you know who she reminds me of? Oh God, who was Thorne's noir?
Oh no, what was her name?
Candace.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
she was from the past.
Yeah, she was like Candace from the future. I love
it. Yes. Yeah.
I do have a soft spot for those femme fatales.
Yeah.
But I liked the Melanie crush relationship, whatever you want to call it, could easily have been like, what's her name? Kathy DQ from the mystery of the Batwoman. Yeah. Like, she's the girl of the week. Who freaking cares? And I don't know why I liked it so much, but it was just really well done.
Yeah. Well, I think they crammed, like I said, there's a lot in this episode, a lot of moving components, and it's all done very well.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a lot with the screen time they give her. And I think it does help too that Terry is in high school.
Yeah.
So that behavior of falling head over heels for somebody you just met makes more sense for him than a Bruce Wayne who should be over this shit by now. We get it. She's hot. Take a cold shower, old man. All right. In that case, is Dead Man's Hand better or worse? Again, bumping up one each time. The number 2, Shriek.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think it's closer because it's still...
It's a little bit more... There's heart.
Yeah.
There's heart and Shriek, too. That's between Terry and Bruce.
Yeah, I think... Ironically, I think I like the opposite thing about them. I like in Shriek that we're seeing them start to work well together, start to trust each other. But I think if that had been it, it might have been just a little too smooth. I think you need to have those bumps in the road towards a good working relationship. Yeah. So I think they're almost like two halves of the same whole, and it's really cool that we got to do them as a double feature in this recording session. But yeah, I like seeing them overcoming the difficulties of working together.
Okay.
All right. So that means we have but one decision left to make. Is Dead Man's Hand better or worse than the big numero uno, Rebirth?
I'm still going to go with Rebirth.
I'm going to concur. Okay. Yeah. Rebirth had it all. It was big. It had the tragedy. It had Bruce and Terry sort of learning to work together. It set up so much cool stuff for later.
It really did. I don't know if you would call it the background layers or the cityscape of Gotham of the future.
Yeah.
It's so cool looking.
It had a lot of heavy lifting to do to introduce this new world.
Yeah.
And I think it did it all very efficiently and very well while still telling a good story. At no point did it sort of like that third episode of the Superman pilot where it's like, okay, now it's just a Superman adventure.
Right.
It never hit that point where it's like, okay, now it's just a standard Batman adventure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to concur.
Okay. Mark it down.
Yeah, marking it down. That's our new number 2 for the second week in a row. Dead Man's Hand, just below Rebirth, and just above Shriek. All right. And let's see what fate has dealt us.
Hey!
For next week in our Dumb Canceled Show.
I was trying to think of other Stephen King books, but we kind of moved on. Yep. So.
We've got The Winning Edge. Do you remember this episode?
Sports.
Your sports team is vastly inferior.
Sports. It is sports. It is Bane.
I don't remember Bane.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this one. The Venom substance is coming up again.
It's
as
a
like
steroid for the sports stars.
Exactly.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna be visiting another old face from the Batman's Rogues Gallery.
Okay.
But that'll be for next week. In the meantime, Kenny, where can folks find you on the internet?
You can find me at WeiskeyTV on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
And you can find me at HBI2K on Twitter or twitch.tv/BenCreighton. You could watch me play Link to the Past real fast. Lately, I've been playing Final Fantasy VI again, which I know is a series you never really got into.
No, mm-hmm. The only one I ever played was VII.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, you don't know this girl. Mm-hmm. Sam, if you're listening, which you probably aren't, congratulations on your baby girl, Aerith.
Ah!
Yes, she had a little girl, named her Aerith.
I see. So she grew up with the version of Aerith that sounds like it's a Lith. See, when I was growing up, she was named Aerith. But
it
turns out that was a translation thing.
So, and so it was Aerith?
In subsequent versions of the character, they pronounced it like Aerith, which I think may be more accurate to the Japanese, but sounds a little silly.
Well, congratulations, Sam, on your beautiful baby girl, Aerith. Congratulations.
Absolutely. And congratulations. I don't know. I thought I had something. Congratulations to you if you tune in next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.